Okay. Today's daf is Kiddushin Lamed. Okay, hopefully you all learned yesterday's daf. It was really interesting, all about different mitzvot, ben al av, mitzvot av al ben, and then we'll get into all the issues discussed, the mitzvot aseh shasman grammar. We're going to get to them in the Gemara as we go on, about when to get married. We're going to start with that at the very bottom. We'll start from Amar Rava, four lines from the bottom of Kaftet Amavet, and I will just read before Shlomo, the Dvar Badina, Zavram Shuvah Ben Chana, Carmela Ben Nimo, Orli Pinyin Bar Rachel Frida, Chayamak Esther Bat Zipporah, Daniel Ben Mirim Chayirut, Yosef Ben Machele, Bat Rivka, Rapal Yishof Halek Ben Bracha Batya, Yael Mirim Bat Chay, Rina Chaya Bat Shoshana, Yaakov Ben Rozitz, Tali Rachel Bat Tamar Sarah, Zander Zizka Ben Menucha, Bilon Yishma Chana Bat Atar Reza Bat Sarah Tzvi, Hirsh Ben Yaakov Halevi Umela. Okay. Amar Rava, Rachen Tana Dibay Rabbi Yishmael. Ad 20 Shana Yosef Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzapel Adam Matai Yisai Isha. Kevan shigia esrim velo nasa omer tipach atzmotav. Okay, we said this is connecting with what came up in yesterday's daf about the 20 is the age. There was a whole machloket about exactly what's the age to get married. Here they're saying in this source it says 20 because they're concerned about here huay avera and all the thoughts men are going to have. So therefore they're better off being married. Amar Rav Chisda, haida adifne mechavrai din nisivna b'shitzar. I got married at 16. I'm even better than my friends because I got married young. If I got married at 14, I would have said to the Satan, Gira be'enecha. Here's a chetz in your eye. This comes up a lot about shooting arrows in the eyes of the Satan. And I would have said, here, you see, the Yetzer Hara never got to me. Okay, so here they put 14 is this age where things start getting tricky with boys. Okay. Amale Rava le Rabbi Natan Bar Ami. Aditcha al tzavaret varecha, mishitzar v'ad esrim v'tarte. Okay, he's saying, what this term means, al tzavaret.
You still have control over him.
What?
When you have control over him, when your hand is on his neck, meaning when you can guide him.
Okay, so when you can...
Well, you command authority over him.
Yeah. Right, when you still can command authority over your... over your child, and he, right. In other words, this was this whole thing about you, the age range, about when your child will actually still listen to you. Okay, that was an also interesting thing. In other words, at what age your child will still listen to you, the assumption is he'll take your advice. So that's, right, it's between the ages of 16 to 22. Okay, and others say that the years where you can still have control of your son and he'll listen to you are from 18 to 24.
Which doesn't mesh with when they should be getting married. Right? If they're supposed to get married at 14 or 16, then, you know.
No,
at
20, they're supposed to get married.
No, but they're saying, what they're saying is that around 18 or 20 is when they should be getting married. And the point is that then you can still have control over them and insist that they get married. And that's your age range, basically. Okay, so mitivnei shevad esrim v'arba, and then they say this is kitchenai. This machlok. This is a machloket tanaim. Whether it's from 16 to 22 or whether it's from 18 to 24, what's the machloket tanaim? Chanoch lanar apidarko. Okay, this is relevant apropos for Leila Seder, right? That you should teach each child apidarko. Right? We often think of chinuch as the younger ages. This is very interesting that they're talking about the older ages because they think the kids are not mature enough at a younger age to accept their tocha, their parents. And then there's that obvious window before the kids get too independent and say, well, I don't need to listen to my parents. And they talk about this is exactly what the window is. And then here, when's chanoch lanar al pi darko? Now here, the focus isn't here al pi darko, the focus is the chinuch. In other words, chanoch lanar, when are the ages where the real chinuch takes place? Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Nechemia. Chad amar mishitzar v'ad esrim v'taritim, v'chad amar mitim nesrei v'ad esrim v'arba'a. So what they say is that the laws of chinuch, it's the same exact machloket to what age you're supposed to marry your child off. Because the assumption is, now here what's interesting, until now we've always talked about men marrying off their daughters, right? Today we're focusing on men marrying off their sons. And we're going to see that dafka, the men marrying off the sons, is a more relevant issue. We'll see this soon. Because daughters, they don't really have control over it. Yes, on the one hand they can do kiddushin for them, but on the other hand, it's the man who initiates, according to, right, certainly in their society, and even today's society, it's somewhat that way. It's not exactly, but, you know, where the man proposes, let's say. In other words, so it's in his control to insist that his sons marry because the sons have to take initiative to get married. Whereas we're going to see that the assumption was that the daughters couldn't really take initiative, which is interesting in light of all those sugyas about the father marrying off the daughter. So, anyway, we'll get there soon. Okay. Ad hechan chayav adam lelamed b'no Torah. Okay, so now, to what extent does a person have to teach his son Torah? Like, what things does he have to teach him? Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, kigon Zvulim ben Dan. Okay, like Zvulun ben Dan, this is a guy who existed then. Okay, it's obviously not Zvulun and Dan the Shvatim, but a guy whose name was Zvulun ben Dan. Shelimdo avi aviv, that his grandfather, okay, here it's interesting. The question was asked about a father to a son, and the answer was given about a grandson, okay, a grandfather to a son, so we'll get to that soon. That he taught him mikra u'mishnah v'talmud halachot v'agadot. Okay, what do these terms mean? Okay, you think you know what they mean, but it's a little tricky, because mikra is obviously Torah, Mishnah is Mishnah. Talmud, what's Talmud? The Talmud didn't exist in their day, right? So Talmud is more like the drashot, you know, and the what we call the Talmud today, the questions and the answers and the back and forth, the give and take. Halachot and agadot, okay? So halachot is, I guess, you know, the more halachic section. Here it's confusing whether halachot and agadot are defining Talmud, because Talmud is made up of halachot and agadot. Agadot would be more the drashot, like the yugimul midot, shatarat, and drashot bahen. So if you want to view them as three totally separate things, Talmud, Halachot, Agadot, then it gets a little tricky. What's the difference between Talmud and the Halachot and Agadot? Okay, so now they're going to say, so that's what a father has to teach his son, all those things. So now they're going to say, wait a minute, may today we have a problem from a Braita. Lamdo Mikra, Eim Lamdo Mishnah. Okay, you have to teach him Mikra, but you don't have to teach him Mishnah. Ba'amar Rava, Mikra Zotorah. They say Mikra is Torah. First of all, it seems to imply it's just the Torah and not the Nevi'im, the Ketuvim, right? What we would consider Mikra would be everything. And here they say it's just Torah. And also it says, right, Eimelam do Mishnah. You don't need to teach a Mishnah. So what do they say? Kizvulum ben dan ben lo kizvulum ben dan. You have to teach like Zvulum ben dan learn, but also not like him. How so? Kizvulum ben dan shalom do avi aviv. So now they say, what did they mean to learn from Zvulun ben Dan? That the grandfather needs to teach it. In other words, the question wasn't, what does he need to teach him? That they were trying to learn from Zvulun ben Dan. It was, to what extent do you need to teach? Even do you have to teach your not only your son, but your grandson? The assumption here seems to be that in a case where the father's not teaching the son, then the grandfather's responsible. He needs to take responsibility. Goes back to yesterday's sugya about if the father doesn't do it, then who's responsible? So when it comes to Talmud Torah, the grandfather's responsible. So now they say, wait a minute, Vavi Aviv Mi Mechayev, is the grandfather really responsible? V'ha Tanya, there's a brayta that implies that the grandfather's not responsible. V'limadetem otam epenechem, v'lo b'nei b'nechem. Okay, there they say, here we take our pasuk, okay, from Kriyat Shema, v'limadetem otam epenechem. Right, you're supposed to teach your sons and not your grandsons. Uma ani mekayem, but wait, there's another pasuk. V'odatem levanecha u'levnei vanecha, right, you have to pass it down to your children and your children's children. So what do you do with that? Lomar lecha, shekola melameda b'no Torah, ma'aleh alav ha-katuv ki'ilu limdo, limdo lo u'levno u'levem b'no ad sof kol ha-dorot. Okay, what is it coming to say? V'odatam levanecha levnei banecha. That if you teach your son well, you'll be passing on a legacy. He'll pass it on to his children, and he'll pass it on to his children. So it's as if you taught them, but it doesn't mean that you have a chiyuv to teach them. So you know, what you have to understand here is, there's two psukim. One seems to indicate just your sons. One seems to indicate even your grandchildren. This braita explains it, meaning only the obligation is only on your sons. The one that relates to the grandsons is if you do a good enough job teaching your sons, then it's as if you're passing it on to your grandsons. So now they say, so how could we say that we learned from Zvulun ben Dan that you have to teach your grandson Torah? So they say, ah, no problem. This braita said one thing, but hu d'amar ki haitana. But he said like a different Tana. In other words, it was a machloket Tanaim about whether you need to teach your grandson or not. And who was it? Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, who said that we learn from Zvulun ben Dan about the grandson, was learning like this braita. Titania, it says in a braita, v'lima detem, now we're going to have the exact opposite drasha from the same psukim that we had a minute ago. V'lima detem otam epenechem, en li'ala benechem. That pasuk only seems to imply benechem. B'nei benechem minayim, where do we learn about the grandchildren? Tamud lamar, v'hodatam levanecha, levnei benecha. Okay, we have the other pasuk which comes to imply the b'nechem also means your b'nei b'nechem. Okay, im kein matam olam rabbeinichem. So then, here we get to our favorite, right? Why not? Why does it say sons? Ah, it's to teach you b'nechem v'lo b'notechem. Okay, it's to teach you that girls do not have to learn Torah. Okay, and here's your source for women not needing, the father doesn't need to teach his daughter Torah. Okay, again, remember the context. It's the father teaching the daughter. He doesn't need to teach his daughter's Torah. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, kolam lamed ben b'no Torah, ma'aleh alav ha-katuv ki'ilu kibla mehar Sinai, sh'ne'amar v'odatum l'benecho l'bnei banecha. V'samich le, and right next to that pasuk it says, yom asher amadita l'fnei Hashem lokacha b'chorev. So what do they say? If you teach your grandchild Torah, okay, it's as if the pasuk teaches you, it's as if you're getting it straight from Har Sinai. In other words, it's such an important thing that it's as if you're getting the Torah straight from there. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, here's an interesting story. Chiya bar Abba, eshkechel Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, sees Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, deshade disna areshe, v'kamemati le liyinuka lebeik nista. He put a sheet on his head, okay, as opposed to like a kippah or something more like that most people went on their heads. He threw a sheet on his head and he grabbed his grandson and was taking him to the shul. Ve'amarle, my kulehai, what's going on here? Why didn't you get dressed properly? Okay, this is like somebody walks in, you know, not really dressed properly. They were clearly rushing and they didn't have time to get dressed properly. He says, why didn't you get dressed properly? Why do you have this sheet on your head? So Amarle, Mizu Tarmai Dechtiv, Odatam Levanecha, Vesamichle, Yom Asharmatav Lifnei Hashem Elokecha Bechorev. Is it not so important what this pasuk tells you that we have to teach our children and it's as if you're getting the Torah on Har Sinai? So why was I going to waste my time getting dressed? I wanted to hurry up and do this mitzvah as quickly as possible. Mikam Va'elach, so now this obviously made a huge impression on Rabbi Chiya bar Abba who asked the question in the first place. So they say, Mikam Va'elach, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Lo Time Umtza, okay, he didn't, here's going to be interesting, okay, we learned about what they ate for breakfast in those days. He didn't eat this meat that they used to eat for breakfast, okay, he didn't even have a taste of it in the morning until he brought his child to the Beit Midrash. What?
Sorry. So
he was eating bacon. He was eating bacon, right, exactly. Yes, that's it. Good joke, good joke. So anyway, he wouldn't even eat the meat, he didn't even taste a little piece of it until he brought his child to start learning. Umosfe, so what they say mosfe is first he would review what they learned and then he would add something new so that every day he could learn something new. Okay? Just want to see one thing. Right. I wasn't sure. I think it seems to be his son, not his grandson, both these stories. Wasn't sure if we were still on the grandson topic.
Says grandson.
Here. It's unclear. Okay. I see here, according to the Rishalmi, there's a pressure on the Rishalmi that thinks it was maybe his grandson with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. It's not clear whether it's the son or the grandson, okay? Because they just call him a yunuka. Yunuka is a child. So anyway, there's two ways of reading the story, whether it was the grandson or the son. Either which way, it shows the importance of the mitzvah of teaching your child, whether it also is your grandchild or not is a separate question. Okay. The Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, another Rabbi, lo time umtza ad demaita liyinuka lebei midrasha. Okay, he also wouldn't do it until he brought his son to the Beit Midrash to learn. Also didn't eat the meat for breakfast. Okay, so number one, we see what they ate for breakfast in the mornings. Number two, we see the importance. One big question asked among the Rishonim, which I wanted to bring up, which is really interesting. The Meiri Paskins, that based on this, until now, what are we talking about? Banecha u'bnei banecha, which means your son's children, your grandchildren from your son's son. So the Meiri said the same would apply to grandsons from your daughter. Okay? The same thing. Well, you could say a few, but I wanted to read you in the Kesef Mishnah, okay, the Rambam in Hilchot Talmud Torah, which appears in Sefer Amada. He says, 1 second, where is this? Right. So he's, the Rambam says, Kshem shechayav adam lelamed et beno, kachu chayav lelamed et ben beno. So we paskin dafka like that opinion, okay, not like the opinion that says you don't have to teach your grandchildren. Now, by the way, there's other interesting things about this. What does it mean that you're responsible? So what it means is if the father doesn't teach, then you're responsible to teach him. If you can't teach him, then you're responsible to hire someone to teach him. Now, they also go off and they say not only are you hired for your grandchildren, but you're also hired for anybody else to teach. And you see someone who's nobody's teaching them Torah and you can teach, then you're responsible to teach them Torah, other people's children. But there you're not chayiv to hire someone. You're only chayiv if you know enough Torah to be able to teach them, or you know how to teach, let's say, right? If you're a capable teacher, so then you're chayav to teach the other children, but you're not, that's the distinction. You're not chayav to hire someone to teach them. Comes the Kesef Mishnah, and he says, so he says, Uben ben beno, okay, so if you have the, he says, the, what about the great-great-grandchild? Nirali dekodim leben chavero. So now he starts to distinguish if we already have the ben chavero. By the way, the Kesef Mishnah was written by Rabbi Yosef Karo. Okay, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch. He wrote a commentary on the Rambam. So he says, it seems like your great-great-grandson, so, sorry, your great-grandson would be more important than your friend's son, who's no one's teaching. Okay? Dinaka bembeno, but who had din leben bembeno? Velo, okay, whatever. Right. Velo, havale lemichta, vodatum lezarecha. Okay. Aval, hamisapkali, but I'm not sure. I ben bito kodem leben chavero. Okay, he says, I don't know if the son, your grandson through your daughter, would be the same. Why does he say? Dev shar de ein kodem leben chavero, elahecha de nitchayev ba'aviv. It could be something he doesn't think, you know. He just says that where is the chiyuv coming from? The chiyuv is coming from you should have taught your son. If you didn't teach your son properly, he couldn't teach his son, then it's the responsibility goes back to you. Whereas with your daughter, since you weren't responsible to teach her, so therefore if she didn't teach her children, you know, if her husband didn't teach her children, well, that's like his father's issue and not your issue. So then it's not your problem. It's just that you're just as responsible for this child as you are for Ben Chavero. In other words, you're already a more distanced, you know, your responsibility is more distant. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting thing to bring up.
I think what this must also show is that they were living together. Like the father,
you think they were in the same houses? It's possible.
Talking about breakfast, so it made more logical sense. Whereas with your daughter, she was at
right.
Home.
Your daughter moved out of the house, and she was living somewhere else. Right? Yes. Whereas the son's right. Right. She was more the right. What Shana's pointing out, I think, is very interesting. Is the way that society was is that things always the family grew around. The boys stayed with the father, and the girls went to the other side. So basically, it also makes sense in terms of levels of responsibility. And maybe that's why the Gemara doesn't even bring it up. Because
right.
Notice the Gemara doesn't raise it, right? Only the Rishonim
right.
raise it. Which also, by the time of the Rishonim, things were different. I'm
yes.
sure that's not the way they lived, you know, the same way they lived then. Thank you for pointing that out. Okay. Amar Rav Safra, Mishum Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. Mai dichti bishinantam levanecha. Okay, this is very famous. Al tekre vishinantam ela vishilashtem. Right? It should be read as not vishinantam like double, but vishilashtem, triple. Okay, right? Vishinantam is to repeat. So you should say it three times. What does that mean? Why vishilashtem? Lo olam yishalesh adam shnotav shlish b'mikra shlish b'mishna shlish b'talmud. Okay, so very famous statement. You should split your time a third in Torah, a third in Mishnah, and a third in Talmud. Okay, now they say, Mi yodea kama chaye. What do you mean? So I'm going to learn the first third of my life, Mikra. Then I'm going to learn the second third Mishnah. How can I possibly calculate how many years I'm going to live to know when it's going to be a third? So what do they say? No, lo tzricha liyomek. It means liyomek. So people understand this differently. Some people say it means you should split each day into three. Some people means you should do 2 days a week. Torah, 2 days a week Mishnah, 2 days a week Talmud, and then Shabbat, review everything. Okay, that's maybe another way of looking at it. Obviously, people don't do this anymore, right? People don't, if you go to a yeshiva, a typical yeshiva, what do? They learn much more Talmud than anything else, right? So this whole question about where that came from and what the story is, Tosfot has a very famous thing here where they say, right, he says it here. Right. So first of all, he says Al Kainti came beseder of Amram Gaon. Okay. He quotes the seder of Amram Gaon in the middle of Tosfot. Dibor Matchil Lo Tzricha Liyome. He says Kamosha Anu Noagim B'chol Yom. The Kodem Pesuket Izim Lomar Mikra Mishna Gemara. Okay. That's why we say every day. Right. We say it in. There's actually two different versions of it. Okay. After Bruch HaTorah, we say Elu Dvarim Shelem Shiur Peava Bikurim Barayon. Right. And then we say. We start off with Yerecha Hashem B'Yishmerecha, right? Then we say then a simple Mishnah and then a more complicated Braita, okay? Like the longer one. The other version appears after Bechor HaShachar, which is Ezu Mekoman Shel Zvachim And the psukim before that, there's like a in Karbanot there. You have the psukim of the Karbanot, you have Ezu Mekoman, which is a whole Mishnah there, and then there's Brayta to Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Shlosh, Rabbi Dodah, Taran, and Dresha Behen, and that's the Talmud. So there were two versions. They ended up both in our Siddur. But those are two versions of things we say. And then, Rabbeinu Tam Peresh, Sha'anu Somchim, Ahad Amrina B'Sanhedrin, Bavel, Belula B'mikra B'mishna U'B'Gemara. D'Gemarat Bavel Balum Likulan. They say that's what the Bavli is. Why is it called the Bavli? Because it has everything in it. So if you learn only the Bavli, okay, then you have your Torah, you have your Mishnah, and you have your Gemara, and that's how you split up your time. Okay, this is like, you know, they always laugh at, it's always the joke about if someone quotes, oh, I know that pasuk, it appears on daf, whatever, right? That's, you know, that's how people learn yeshiva. They know what page they don't know what book it's in, but they know where it is in the Gemara. So anyway, that's a very famous Tosfot about calling the Bavli. It's got everything, and that's how you can split your time just by learning the Bavli. Okay, and that's obviously become the norm. Okay, whether it's based on Tosfot or not, I don't know, but okay, so now they say, now there's this section, which seems very, there's a lot of strange things about this section. Unclear exactly what is coming to, why it's here. Okay, it starts with Lefichach, but it clearly doesn't connect exactly to the section before. But I think it's trying to show how much they spent their time also in the Mikra. Okay, you could sort of look at it like that. Although it's weird because it's not exactly learning, it's more counting, psukim and things like that. Lefichach nikru'u rishonim sofrim shayu sofrim kol, the original people who learned were called the sofrim. Why? Shayu sofrim kol ha'otiyot shebetorah. They counted all the letters of the Torah. In other words, they knew it. You could look at it this in one way. They knew the Torah so well that they could even count how many letters there were. They knew it so back and forth. Shayu omrim vav digachon chetzian shel otiyot shel sefer Torah. Okay, so vav of the word gachon in Vayikra is the exact middle point of the letters in the Torah. Darosh darash chetzian shel tevot. Okay, if you look at the words, darosh darash is exactly the middle. Vitgaleach is the middle of the psukim. Yecharsimena chazir miyar. Sorry, did I read this wrong? Vav de gachon chetzian shel otiyot. Sorry, shall sefer Torah, no, chesan shal otiyot shall sefer Torah, right? Darosh darash chesan shal sevot, v'itkaleach shal psukim. Yichar semena chazir miyar. Right. Now we're quoting this pasuk. Yichar semena chazir miyar. They're saying the ayin de yar is chesan shal tihilim. Okay, this is the exact middle point of tihilim. Okay, why exactly of all the books they're talking about they get to tihilim, I don't know, and we're going to see it soon also, which raises, you know, at least some thoughts about why tihilim specifically. V'hu rachum yechaper avon chetzio de psukim. Okay, and that's the middle pasuk of Tehillim. By Rabbi Yosef, vav de gachom mehaygisa o mehaygisa. Okay, now they want to know this vav, is it the half point from the first, right? Like if you count, okay, right, when you have a middle point, so either there's equal before, equal after, they're assuming that it's not equal before, equal after, it's going to be, what?
Is it an even number of letters or an odd number?
Right, so they're assuming that it's an even number, in which case the half, the midpoint, is going to either belong to the first section or to the second section. So now they're saying, Vav dekacho mehagisa mehagisa. Amarlein, neti sefer Torah v'im ninu. So let's take out a sefer Torah and we'll count. So they say, no, we can't, because Milo Amar Rabba Barbachana, lo zaza misham ad sheviyu sefer Torah u'mena'um. So they said, right, did Rabbi Rabbachana not say that they didn't, right? They didn't, nobody moved until they brought a Sefer Torah. So they say, Amarle, inu b'kiu b'chaserot b'yiterot, anan lo b'ki'inan. Saying, but it's a problem because we no longer know exactly which ones have a yud or a vav. You know, in Hebrew, you could either have the same word with a yud, without a yud, and we don't know which words are supposed to be, in which case, we can't exactly figure out what's the middle word anymore. In other words, they knew, but we don't know anymore. This is all, by the way, about the Mesorot, about the words, and about, we're going to see soon, about where you put the punctuation at the end of a pasuk. Okay, that all that stuff was a mesorah. Okay, and now we're not even clear anymore about what exactly the true mesorah is.
Michelle, yeah. Just going back to Tehillim for a second. Well, imagine they picked that book, because that was the book that was probably used the most.
You think they used Tehillim the most because...
I don't know if it's the same as today, but people
right.
say...
The way people say Tehillim today. The question is, did they do it in those days? Yeah. I don't know, right? I don't know if Tehillim... It could be. It could be from here. You see how significant it was that it was something that they learned a lot. But I don't know historically if they used Tehillim the way people do today. By Rav Yosef, V'itgaleach mehagisa o mehagisa. So again, that middle word, is it to this way or this way? Amar le'abaye, psuka mi'aleitu limnuye, b'psuke nami lo b'kina. The same thing, v'itgaleach was the middle, sorry, that was the middle pasuk. Right? So now they're going to say, we don't know anymore how they broke up the psukim. We don't know if we have the true masoret. Ki ata rav acha bar ada amar, b'marava paskale l'hai kra l'talta psuke. Which pasuk did they split up in three? By Yo, in others, the pasuk that we have is one pasuk, and they split it into three. Okay, the whole pasuk doesn't appear, but I'll read you the whole pasuk if you look in the Torah, or you'll find it. By Yomar Hashem Moshe, hine anochi bai lecha ba'av ha'anan. Okay, this is where they would stop. Then, second part of the pasuk, ba'avur yishma ha'am b'debri imach, v'yegam b'cha yaminu la'olam. Third, second pasuk, now we get to the third pasuk, v'yegev Moshe divrei ha'am el Hashem. So it's a very long pasuk that they say in Eretz Yisrael they split it up into three. Now why would they split it up into three in Eretz Yisrael? Do you know the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel in terms of Kriyat HaTorah? They would read it on a three-year cycle. Yeah. So it makes sense almost that they had shorter psukim. In Eretz Yisrael it took them 3 years to read the Torah. Okay, and they didn't have the same cycle, and they didn't have Simchat Torah. Simchat Torah Chag wasn't celebrated in those days the way it is nowadays. In Eretz Yisrael, they read on a different cycle and they only finished the Torah once every 3 years. Okay, so it could be that it's interesting that here they split the same pasuk into three, and it's the same three. Could be there's some connection. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Here's another very strange thing about numbers, because the numbers here don't match up at all to the numbers that we have. Okay? Tana Rabbanan. And the Mepharshim will talk about it. Nobody has a really good answer. There's also different nuskaot. Some people say it doesn't say chameshet alafim, it says shmonat alafim. And some people say it just must be a ta'ut sofer that they wrote a hey and it looked like a chet. Okay, and they got confused. Chameshet alafim u'shmona me'ot u'shmonim u'shmona psukim hava psuke sefer Torah. Okay, that's how many psukim were in a sefer Torah. So 5,888. Okay, the actual number is something like 5,840 something. Okay, you can look in the notes, talk about it. Yeter alav tilim shmonesh. Tilim has eight more, which you say, what are you talking about? Tilim has more psukim than the Torah? So actually it doesn't. Tilim is like 2,500 and something. Okay, so it's very strange that they say your Tilim has eight more. Chaser mimenu divrei yamim shmoneh. Okay, divrei yamim has eight less. Okay, which also isn't true, because divrei yamim is like 1,000, I think 200 and something. Okay, so the numbers are very off here. First of all, I'll try to grapple with it. I didn't find any great answers, so I'm not going to give you any because I wasn't satisfied with the ones I found. anyway, everybody grapples with this. They don't all have answers. Tana Rabbanan. Vishinantem. Shiyu divrei Torah mechudadim beficha. By the way, even if you say that they split the things up differently, right, you're talking about major differences. So it makes it very complicated to understand what's going on here. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Vishinantam. Here's another translation. Vishinantam we saw before. You should read Vishilashem and not Vishinantam. Now they're going to have a different drasha. Shiyu divrei Torah mechudadim beficha. Divrei Torah have to be so sharp in your. You should know them so well. Shimishalach adam davar al tigamgem betomarlo. Don't stutter until you find the answer. Ela emor lo miyad. You should answer him immediately. Shenamar emor lechokma chotiyad. You should be so familiar with it the way you're familiar with your sister. Okay, different translations of how they connect that, but we'll leave it at that for right now.
It's a little strange.
Right. Some people say it. Some people translate it as the way you know that you're forbidden to your sister, that's so obvious to you, that's the way you should be comfortable with Torah, that it's so clear to you. Anyway, it's a strange pasuk and strange the way they darshan it. Okay. V'omer, kishram al etzba'otecha, kidvam al luach libecha, right? It should be on your lev so that you can just, pull it out in a second. V'omer, right? Libecha, by the way, they always connect like chacham lev, that the intelligence was in the heart. V'omar kechitzim b'yad gibor kem b'nei ha'nu'im. Okay, the b'nei ha'nu'im, the assumption is those are the tamidim who are learning. It should be like the arrows in the hands of the gibor, right? Also, when you go, you have to have your bullets ready to load immediately, right? That's what they're saying, should be ready. V'omar, here they're going to take this idea of the arrows further. Chitzei gibor shinunim. Okay, that the chitzim of the gibor should be shinunim, like v'shinantam, right? They should be sharp. V'omar chitzecha shinunim amim tachtecha yiplu. If your arrows are sharp, then nations will fall beneath you. V'omer ashrei hagever, and here now it's talking about the teacher. Okay, happy is the man who's the teacher. Asher mileat ashpato mehem. So in the pasuk, it's who has his his ashpa was the kli that they would have all the arrows in. So he filled his kli with students who were very sharp, right? He had these sharp arrows ready to throw at anyone. Mehem lo yivoshu ki daburut oyvim bashar. Okay, they will not be embarrassed because they will know to speak how to speak to their enemies at the gate. So my et oyvim bashar, who are the enemies here? Am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba afilu ha'avu b'no haravu talmidoshos kim b'torah bashar echad. Even if they're learning Torah together, a father and son, a rav and his student, nasim oyvim zeh, okay, they're considered enemies of each other. What they're saying here is not that obviously they dislike each other, it's that when you're having an argument of Torah, even with your father, you should argue kamosha tzarich. In other words, fight it out, but ve'einam zazim misham, but they don't leave there ad shenasim ohavim zeh. Okay, but eventually, when they figure out who's right, they become ohavim zeh. Shenemar edvaha bisufa. Okay, here it's b'sefer melchamot Hashem. Right, this is a very strange pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. It's in Sefer Bamidbar at the end of Bamidbar. Al ken ye'amer b'sefer melchamot Hashem edvav bisufa ve'et hanechalim are known. So now they say, what's these melchamot Hashem? Right, obviously melchamot Hashem is fights of Torah. So what's vaha? Vaha is from ahav, ahava. Okay, so now what do they say? Al tikre bisufa ela bisufa. In other words, you get to, from Milchemet Hashem, you get to Ahava Basof. Okay, that's what happens when you have a real true fight of Torah. Okay, now we're going to talk about the important, what Torah does to people. Tana Rabbanan. Vissamtem, here's going to be a drashan Vissamtem. Okay, now in drashot, sin and samach could be interchangeable. So Vissamtem with a sin is now going to be explained with a samach. Sam tam. Okay, what's sam? Sam is a drug. Okay, a positive drug, right? A drug that's for curative purposes, a medicine that's tam. Nimshala Torah kesam chayim. Okay, learning Torah is basically like taking medication. Okay, mashal adam shehikat beno makah gdola. It's like it's a mashal for someone who hits his son. V'iniach lo ritiya al makato, and then he puts something onto his makah. V'amar lo bni kol zman sheritiya zo al makatcha. As long as you keep this bandage over your wound, you can eat all you want, you can drink all you want, urechot bein b'chamim bein b'tzonein, you can wash either in hot water or in cold water, ve'ein atamit yarein, you don't have to be worried about anything. Right? There's a very interesting mashal. We'll talk about it in one more minute. Ve'im atam avira harei umale nomi. Okay, it could be explained as boils or becomes like, bad things grow. Okay, kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar lehem liYisrael. Bini barati yetzer hara. Okay, that's like the father giving a makah to his son, right? God is giving us something terrible. He's giving us this yetzer hara. But barati lo Torah tavlin. But I gave you also the cure for it. V'im atem oskim b'Torah, ein atem nimsirim b'yado. If you sit and learn Torah, you'll be able to avoid the yetzer hara. Shneamar, halo. Okay, this is by Cain. Halo im tetiv se'et. Right? If you do good, then you'll be able to conquer it. V'im ein atem oskim b'Torah, atem nimsirim b'yado, shenemar. Right? What's the continuation there? V'im lo titiv, lepetach chatat roveitz. Right? The chatat will be at your doorstep. V'lo od ela, shakoma se'o matano b'cha. He's just going to be focusing on you. V'elecha tishu, shenemar, v'elecha tishukato. Right? His desire is going to be on you. V'im ata rotzeh, but then what's the end of that pasuk? Atatim shobo. Okay, so here it says, and if you want to, atamo shelbo, you can conquer him. Shenemar v'atatim shobo. Okay, so this is saying it's all in your control, and whether you right, it's all about do you choose to learn or choose not to learn. And this is really about the koch of Torah and how much you can. What I think is really interesting is about you can eat all you want, you can drink all you want. In other words, Judaism is not all about the forbidden, right? It's just saying if you do things with Torah, and you sit and learn, then you'll know how to focus all these energies to positive in positive ways. And you can eat all you want, you can drink all you want, you can do what you want, but, because the Torah will guide how you do everything. That's the way I understand it. Okay, so anyway, it's a very strong thing for Talmud Torah, which obviously becomes very difficult when we're going to get to the sugyot about how girls are, right? We saw already that girls are not part of this at all, right? So what about them? What do they have if they're not... You're not allowed to learn Torah, according to those who say you can't learn, right? Obviously, we do think that girls can learn Torah, and that it's not, it's not that it's forbidden, but even if it's not encouraged, so what about them and their Yetzer Hara? Do they assume that girls don't have so much of Yetzer Hara, right? Do they In other words, here they talk about how great Torah is, but yet it's only for 50% of the population, right? It's difficult to see in that light. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Kashe Yetzer Hara, Shafilu Yotzro Kira'o Ra. That's how bad the Yetzer Hara is. That even God who created it called it bad, right? You'd think if you created things, you would call them all good. But God created the Yetzer Hara and called it bad. Shenemar, Ki Yetzer Lev Ha'adam Ra Min Urav. Okay, he calls it was bad from when he was born. Amar, or when he was young. Amar of Yitzchak, Yitzro Shel Adam Mitchadesh Alav B'Kol Yom. Shenemar, Rak Rak Kol Hayom. Okay, the Yetzer of a person keeps bringing its mitchadesh. Okay, here we talk about the power of desire. That what makes people desire things? Number one, it's chidush, new things that they haven't ever seen before. And that's what they're saying. The Yetzer Hara is so strong that it, because it has the power of making things new every day. But Amar Rishon Balevi, and here's a different aspect. Yitzrosh Adam mitgaber alav b'kol yom. It's so strong. Okay, and there's one is strength in chidush, and the other is physical or some sort of other strength. Umevakesh hamito, and tries to kill him. Shneamar tofer rasha letzadik umevakesh lahamito. Here they're calling the rasha the Yetzer Hara, and he tries to kill him. That's, by the way, these are psukim in Tehillim, and one second. I thought they quoted two pesukim from here. No, this pesuk is from Tehillim. So, Perasha l'sadikum v'vakesh amito. That's in Tehillim Lamed Zayin. Okay. Tana de Rabbi Yishmael. Bini im pagabacha menuval zeh. Okay, here there's a brayta that says, again, like what we were saying, if this Yetzer Hara gets to you, mishacheu lebeit hamidrash. Bring him to the Beit HaMidrash. Okay? And what's going to happen if you go to the Beit HaMidrash with him and you start learning? This is the power of Torah. Im even hu mimoach, if it's a rock, right, which a rock we think of as something very hard that nothing can break, but what will happen? Water withers away the rock, right? It'll wither away. The im barzelhu, I was thinking of like rocks, paper, scissors, right? It's like that game here. Im barzelhu, if it's metal, mitpotsets, it will explode. Shneemar, now here's a very strange pasuk, they don't exactly, the mepharshim struggle with how exactly this proves the barzelhu mitpotsets. Shneemar halo kod varai ka'esh ne'um Hashem. My words are like fire. U'kipatish yifotzei tzela. Now here, if you translate this literally, it sounds like, and like a hammer can smash a rock. But here we're trying to explain how we can smash barzel. So some people say it's the opposite. It's the rock can smash the barzel. That's why I was thinking of rocks, paper, scissors, right? The rock smash beats out the scissors. You ever play that game, right? Because the rock can smash the scissors. So that's what it's saying. That it's strong, even though really what they're talking about is the eish, though, here. So it's a little bit strange to understand what's going on here. Different explanations are given, but like I said, each one has a little bit of a problem with it. So kipatish, potzeit sela is really the sela is mifotzeit the patish. Vim even huni moach, and how do we know about the rock that will be washed away by the water of Torah? Shneemar, hoy kol tzamei lechulamayim. Anyone's thirsty should go to the water, and here the pasuk is talking about Torah. Okay, if you're thirsty, go to learn Torah. So Torah is like mayim, v'omer avanim shachaku mayim, right? The mayim withers away the even. Okay, now we get to Lasio Isha, and where we started with. Minalan, how do we know you have to marry off your, you have to marry him to a woman? Dechtiv k'chu nashim v'holidu banim u'banot, u'k'chu lebenechem nashim v'et benotechem tenula anashim. Okay, so they bring this pasuk which says, you know, you should, this was in Yirmiyahu, and it's talking about you should take wives and they'll have, you should get married, have children, and then marry off both your sons and your daughters. So now they say, Bishlama bino biyado. We understand the son, it's in your control. Ela bito biyado hi. How could he possibly marry off his daughter? The initiative always comes from the man's side. So what do they say? Hachi kamar. Now, you have to dress her nicely and make her look good so that other people will want to marry her. Lelamdo omanut, how do we know that you have to teach him a trade? Minal and amar chizki amar kra, re'e chayim imisha asher ahavta. Okay, this pasuk is from Kohelet, okay, and it's saying you should look at life with the woman that you love. They say the chayim is parnasa. That's what their assumption is. Chayim is, you know, you have a job and you can make a living. So now they say, imisha asher ahavta. So what does it mean? Isha might be literal, it might be not literal, it might be figurative. So imisha mamashi, if we're saying you should have a parnasa and a wife, then kashem shechayav lasio isha, kachayav lelamdo amanut. So they're going to learn from this pasuk the corresponding nature of having him have a wife and having him have a parnasa. So just like you have to have him marry him off, you also have to teach him a trade. Ve'im Torahi, k'shem shechayav, if the chayim imisha is a reference to Torah, then same thing. K'shem shechayav lelamdo Torah, kach chayav lelamdo omanut. Okay? Again, they learn, just like you're chayav to teach him Torah, you also chayav to teach him a trade. Ve'yesh omrim af lashito b'nahar, even to teach him how to swim, mai taima chiyutahi. Okay, this is something he needs for to survive. He might end up in a boat. The boat might start sinking, and he'll have to learn how to swim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol she'eino melamdo omanut, melamdo listut. Anyone who doesn't teach him a trade is basically teaching his child to steal. So they say, listut salkadatach, what, you're really teaching him to steal? No one's teaching their son to steal just because they're not teaching him a trade. Ela ki'ilu melamdo listut. Okay, it's as if he's teaching him to steal. So now they say, my benayu, right? The Tanakhama said you have to teach him a trade. So what did Rabbi Yehuda add by this? Ika benayu degamrei iska. This is very interesting. According to this, if you teach him schora, okay, you teach him business, right? This is, you know, my parents always brought me up and they said, oh, don't go into business. You know, even though my father was in business, he said, oh, business, you know, it's up in, right? It's like topsy-turvy. You never know if you're going to get business or not. You know, get a stable job. Right, so that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. It's saying that business is unstable, and because it's unstable, if you teach him business, well, he might not end up. You know, he won't have business one day, and he'll end up having to rob to get food. Whereas if you teach him a trade will always have. He'll always have tools to. Right, it's almost like you have to send your kid to college rather than saying skip college, go work in a store, you know, and go run your own business. What?
Farmers will always have business.
Right. So anyway, what you want to do with this, you know, it's a very interesting, whether it's really the case or not. But anyway, it's interesting. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up on this tomorrow from here.